They won the deal off him in time or so, but he always bought it back or fought it back, and the cigarettes on each side of him grew in bigger and bigger pyramid stacks. Then just before 9:30, he started letting them win, lets them win it all back so fast they don't hardly remember losing. He pays out the last couple of cigarettes and lays down the deck and leans back with a sigh and shoves the cap out of his eyes, and the game is done. "Well, sir, win a few, lose the rest," is what I say. He shakes his head so forlorn. "I don't know. I was always a pretty shrewd customer at 21, but you birds may just be too tough for me. You got some kind of uncanny knack. Makes a man leery of playing against such sharpies for real money tomorrow." He isn't even kidding himself into thinking they fall for that. He let them win, and every one of us watching the game knows it. So do the players. But there still isn't a man raking his pile of cigarettes. Cigarettes he didn't really win, but only won back because they were his in the first place. That doesn't have a smirk on his face like he's the toughest gambler on the whole Mississippi. The fat black boy and a black boy named Jeever run out of the day room and commence turning lights off with a little key on a chain. And as the ward gets dimmer and darker, the eyes of the little birthmarked nurse in the station get bigger and brighter. She's at the door of the glass station, issuing nighttime pills to the men that shuffle past her in a line, and she's having a hard time keeping straight who gets poisoned with what tonight. She's not even watching where she pours the water. What has distracted her attention this way is that big red-headed man with the dreadful cap and the horrible-looking scar coming her way. She's watching McMurphy walk away from the card table in the dark day room, his one horny hand twisting the red tuft of hair that sticks out of the little cup at the throat of his work farm shirt. And I figure by the way she rears back when he reaches the door of the station that she's probably been warned about him beforehand by the big nurse. "Oh, one more thing before I leave it in your hands tonight, Miss Pilbo. That new man sitting over there, the one with the garish red sideburns and facial lacerations? I've reason to believe he is a sex maniac." McMurphy sees how she's looking so scared and big-eyed at him, so he sticks his head in the station door where she's issuing pills and gives her a big friendly grin to get acquainted on. This flusters her, so she drops the water pitcher on her foot. She gives a cry and hops on one foot, jerks her hand, and the pill she was about to give me leaps out of the little cup and right down the neck of her uniform where that birthmark stain runs like a river of wine down into a valley. "Let me give you a hand, ma'am." And that very hand comes through the station door, scarred and tattooed, and the color of raw meat. "Stay back! There are two aides on the ward with me." She rolls her eyes for the black boys, but they're off tying chronics in bed, nowhere close enough to help in a hurry. McMurphy grins and turns the hand over so she can see he isn't holding a knife. All she can see is the light shining off the slick, waxy, calloused palm.